Good evening. Welcome to the HIV Hour on this Thursday night. We are virtual today.
Virtual. In the virtual world.
Yes, my name's Josh and I'm with the lovely...
Sue. Josh is with the lovely Sue and I'm with the lovely Josh. And,
yes.
I haven't done a show for a while and it's always nice to sort of re-engage with our amazing listeners and... see what's going on in the world of HIV and in Brighton and Hope, especially, obviously.
Yeah, it is. It's great to have you on. How have you been?
I have been okay. It's just, I always wish for not so busy parts within the work I do, but that I've never been able to find not so busyness of what's going on in HIV world with the Terence Higgins Trust and all the other things I do. But, you know, I think we've just got to, all of us, pace ourselves and trying to, because sometimes you can lose that life balance, can't you, Josh, with work, play, whether you're volunteering, whatever. Sometimes it can take over and consume you.
And it's important, isn't it? To have that balance.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's really important, you know, and even for people listening, it's maybe, you know, you're maybe doing something too much of something that doesn't give you your life balance, you know, whether that's work, whether that's play, whether that's volunteering, whatever, you know. What did they say? Too much of anything is bad for you. I mean, I'm joking, but yeah.
That's not... to say to that, yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it, Sue? Because you know we are such we're in a world of real fast pace. Everything's fast paced. I wonder how fast we can go. We'll probably get so fast that it stops. So it was slow. Yeah. I couldn't go over faster than you know. I look back at when I worked and I did, you know, a barbershop. I mean, and I was busy like 6 days a week. I think
You reflect and think, how did I do that? Do you often reflect and think, did I really do that?
Yeah, I mean, and now I struggle to, you know, you have to, yeah, I think I can't just take one thing once.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know whether it's an age thing or what, but multitasking I find very difficult sometimes.
Well, you know, let's not shy away. I mean, I turned 67 this year.
No.
I know. I'm sure they've got my birth certificate wrong, but and, you know, sometimes, you know, I can't believe how I still run around and do all of this, but sometimes, you know, it gets the better of me and your body tells you, doesn't it? It says to me, I have this little thing in my head saying, now, come on, Sue, behave yourself and just flip and slow down. Because as much as our brains may want to, our body sometimes cannot, and whether that's to do with other health complications that people have, as well as HIV, whether it's you're getting older or you've just recovered from another illness or what have you, I sometimes have to check in with myself and say, now, come on, as much as you want to do that, can you do that? Are you going to put yourself under too much pressure that's going to, you know... Yeah. Spot, you know, what you want to get out of it. But I turned 67 just a few weeks ago. And, you know, it's just, I think the thing is, overall, I feel amazing for it. I don't know whether it's because I'm part of this amazing, obviously, the radio station, the HIV Hour. And obviously, within the HIV sector, doing amazing work and meeting amazing people. I don't know. I think it's
inspiring, isn't it? It can be therapy, can't it? It can be inspires you and makes you feel good. And
absolutely,
you do an amazing job. And
yeah,
it looks amazing. You know. well done, Sue.
Well done, Josh.
Thank you.
That's another thing. We sometimes forget to pat ourselves on the back.
God, I do that all the time.
And it doesn't have to be a great achievement that you've done, even those small achievements that can be quite challenging for some of us. Yeah. And it's all right to set back and think, that was a good job done. I've done that. I completed something I've been meaning to do for ages and I got off me whatever and done it. And it's okay to congratulate yourself on that. We're very much of not self-praising ourselves, aren't we, Josh? Because we think we just need to have to do it and get on with it.
Oh, don't say that. That just triggers me.
Get on with it. Yeah.
I do therapy, and I've told people on the show.
Yeah, sure.
And a lot of mine's therapy at the moment is self-loving. And it's so interesting because I think to self-love sounds quite easy to do. Yeah. And to self-worth. And it's not as easy as you think, because if you've got these old patterns or ways of thinking that was passed down from when you were a child, and it's hard. You have to keep working on it. And I struggle with it sometimes, but you're right. You have to say what you've achieved and look at what you achieved and accept where you are in your life. And it can be a challenge, but very rewarding as well to
absolutely
pat yourself on the back. And
yeah.
So should we get on with the show? We've got a great interview with Alan and Hayden, who are part of the amazing Brighton Bear Weekend, which is
coming. I'm doing a bear noise, but I'm probably wrong.
Yeah, you're dressed as a bear today, aren't you?
I've got eyes on. I've got this sort of bear top with eyes on. The listeners are probably thinking, I wish we could see it. Yeah, I've had this top for ages, and I nearly got rid of it last year, and I thought, you know, that'll still come in handy. That'll still get attention. I'm glad I kept it. I've gone off.
No worries. So they're coming on, and we just talked about the Brighton Bear Weekend this year, which is July. Great conversation with them, and then we're going to just have a bit of we've got a few stories, haven't we, and a bit of community news we're going to talk about stuff. So thank you for tuning in, and we start with a track called Starlight by, I know I've got this right, the Abner and Ultranate. So we'll be straight into the interview with Alan and Hayden after this.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Welcome back to the HIV Hour on 97.2 FM, DAB Plus and RadioReverb.com. That was Starlight by the Avana, I think that's how they pronounce it, and Ultranate. So we have in the virtual studio a couple of great guests. Alan, who is the new chair bear of the Brighton Bear Weekend, which is coming up very soon. Hello, Alan.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm very well. Lovely to see you, Josh.
And you on this virtual screen. And also we've got Hayden, who was last year's Mr. Brighton Bear, is that the right title, Aidan? Yes,
for my year it is.
Yes, so you were nominated last year, weren't you? So we'll talk about that.
Yeah, so won last year in July, and we'll be handing over the title at this year's event.
Fabulous. So, Alan, it's been quite a year, has it, this year?
Yes, I mean, it's been a year of change for Brighton Bear Weekend. We have a whole new team in place managing Brighton Bear Weekend, and we've brought a fresh energy, fresh focus, and a new direction to what we're doing. There'll be lots of familiar things that, you know, people will, you know, be pleased to hear are continuing. But yeah, it's going to have a fresh feel to it.
So yeah, so Brighton Bear Weekend has been going for how many years now? Is it 12 years?
It's something like that, yes, yeah. And, you know, we've had events like this before Brighton Bear Weekend as well. Brighton's got a long history of bear events, going back to the 1990s, for those who remember that far back. So, it's a long tradition.
So what's happening this year then? What can people expect? And just if you tell them the date, it's in July, isn't it? So just give us the details.
Yeah. Please. So it's the weekend of the 10th to the 12th of July. We've got our regular garden party at Dorset Gardens on the Friday evening and in the afternoon on the Saturday. We've got big club nights at Dilf at above Charles Street on the Friday night, and with Beef Mince at Concord 2 on the Saturday night. And, you know, I think it's a bit of a coup, really, that we've managed to get, you know, the UK's two biggest club nights for bears in Brighton on one weekend. It's going to be fab.
Yeah. So what do people expect at the Garden Party? Because that's been such a great event, hasn't it? The 2 day, the Friday and Saturday, isn't it? It's such a good event.
Yeah. Yeah, well, in some ways it's going to be very similar. We've got the stage again with various acts, you know. Wouldn't be Brighton without some drag, of course. But we've got, you know, we've got some fabulous musicians lined up as well and other entertainers. But also this year we've got a new choir social area because we know a lot of people go there to meet up with friends and have a chat and that kind of thing. We've got a new coffee and cakes concession on top of our regular food concession with Lunch Positive. So Lunch Positive is going to be at Brighton Bear Weekend again. I think it's going to be a great time at Dorset Gardens. We've also got various other things going on. So we've got our regular Under Bears party at the Nautilus Lounge on the Sunday evening and a Sunday social at the Thomas Kemp in Kemp Town.
Somebody to remember, isn't there, Paul?
Yeah, there really is, yeah. And we've got a Saturday night bear burlesque at the Birdcage. So, yeah, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Oh, great, yeah. So, Aidan, last year you won Mr. Brighton Bear. How's that been and how was it on the day?
It's been brilliant. It's been amazing. On the day was incredibly overwhelming. I think, like a lot of people, we sort of treat the titles in this country slightly different to everywhere else. But when you win, you get pulled into this like massive circle of European bears. Yeah. So that was insane, but it's been amazing. It's been like life-changing without sounding too cheesy. It's been incredible. Yeah.
What happens over the year then? What do you do? You
just let us... We're fairly non-prescriptive with what we expect our bear to do. We want them to support the community. And, you know, I was given free rein, which is amazing. Effectively, though, it's a really good opportunity to, you know, push something that you're passionate about, you know, and push what Brighton Bear Weekend is all about and, you know, support the community, support all the charities that we help. Which is something that we're really pushing for this year with our contest and our contestants. And they've got such drive and ambition. We're really excited about this year. So, yeah.
Can you just say the charities? Is it different charities or is it?
One of the ways that we are helping this year is we've asked our individual contestants to pick their own charity who they're passionate about to fundraise for. This is part of the pre-prep and part of their campaign. So we're still compiling those, but like having conversations about local charities that they might want to support. Some of them came into the contest with, you know, real passion about things that meant a lot to them, and they're supporting those, but they will be announced in the coming days. But there's a focus on, you know, the queer community in Brighton and the ambitions and the goals of BBW and what we support.
Brilliant. Yeah. Why is it so important to have this event and this event of the, you know, every year?
Well, you know, I'll go back to the two main aims of Brighton Bear Weekend and the whole reason that it was set up in the first place. The first reason was, you know, around social isolation and the fact that, you know, there are so many people in this city who, you know, are disconnected, are perhaps lonely, and, you know, don't get the opportunities to meet people, make friends, make connections. So part of our role is to create social opportunities where people can meet each other and where there isn't the pressure necessarily around kind of being in a loud, noisy environment where there's a lot of alcohol and whatnot going on where there isn't always a pressure to, you know, hook up and have sex and that kind of thing. So, you know, it's about kind of helping people make those kind of connections and nurturing friendship, really. How diverse the bear community is, you know, and it's all about body positivity. Yeah. And then the second one is, and this harks back to what Aidan was just talking about, is our second objective is to raise money, raise funds, both for LGBTQ community organisations and also the HIV/AIDS sector. We've been very successful with that in the past, and we're hoping to build on that legacy and do better. So, yeah, watch this space. But in terms of that, we'll be working very closely this year with the Pride Community Foundation to distribute any funds that we do raise this year. In working closely with the Pride Community Foundation, it puts us very clearly on the map in terms of the month of Pride activities that are going on, including Trans Pride and the big Pride event at the beginning of August, of course. So, you know, we are part of that stable of Pride activities that are going on, building to that first weekend in August. So I'm really kind of chuffed that we're kind of position now as a key part of the wider LGBT community in Brighton.
It's so important, isn't it, Aidan, for us to be visible at the moment. I think it's always important, but especially with what's going on around the world and things. What do you think about that and how we go forward and just keep being visible, do you think? Just keep, you know, you can say something else.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll go back to what I said before about social connection, you know, and if you think what got us through the crisis with Clause 28, what got us through the AIDS crisis, it was about personal connection and people making connections with each other and connections that you wouldn't necessarily have expected, you know. Through those crises, I think everybody who was around at those times, we all made new friendships with the people immediately around us because we were busy campaigning together. We were getting on the buses and trains, going on the marches and all that kind of thing. We were volunteering and helping each other out, you know. And yeah, that's...
Do you think we're heading towards that again? More protests and more things? I know Pride is meant to be like that a bit, but because of how
I think it's hard to say. There are some worrying currents going on in the world at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, you know me, Josh. I'm an optimistic person. I'm optimistic about the future. But having said that, I do think we have to be realistic, and we have to protect ourselves. I had an old friend who said, you know, if we don't stand up for LGBTQ people, nobody else is going to do it for us. So, you know,
And these events do that, don't they? So it's just good to be visible and you know.
Absolutely. And Josh, and we have fun doing it as well. We just have
amazing. Absolutely. It's fun. Need more fun. That's exactly what we need. Yeah, it's great. Can you still volunteer? If you want to volunteer, can you still volunteer?
We've probably the closing date for volunteering has passed now. But if anybody is interested in volunteering, you know, do get in touch because some people drop out, of course. People have things that happen in their lives. And over the course of the year, we'll be organising other fundraising activities that we're going to need volunteers for. So, yeah.
Watch this space.
Get in touch.
And how do they get in touch, Aidan?
Also, our social media channels are Brighton Bear Weekend. That's on Facebook and Instagram is usually the best way to get to us. But also our website, which is www.brightonbearweekend.com. All of our contact details are on there. So just drop us a message and someone will be back with you.
Brilliant. So, Aidan, are you going to want to pass the is it a sash, isn't it, you get?
Yeah. Hold on, I'm going to. I keep getting asked, am I glad to be getting rid of the sash? And the answer is no. I have had a really, really good year. Luckily, I'm involved with the new consort, the cohort, of the new Bears coming through. And I'm really proud of what we're offering. And they're all a cracking bunch. So it will be a worthy winner, whoever it is. And I look forward to working with them. So... yeah, I will bow down gracefully, as they say.
That's the best thing. Yeah. What have you learned, Aidan, then, from the last year?
It's been a massive eye-opener for me in terms of what the Bears of Europe do and how they become a figurehead. And that's something that we're really trying to bring to Brighton. How you can support the community in your own way, but also, by representing. And as Alan said, having fun. It's been a really good year. It's not all work. It's a lot of fun, but it's been really, really eye-opening to what other communities are doing and how Brighton has that spirit. And we could be something absolutely amazing, not just in Brighton, but across Europe. We could be one of the key events if we push in the way that we want to. And I feel like we'll get there with our team. It's a good team.
Yeah, it sounds really good, really positive. And look forward to see what's that going to happen. So, Alan, can you just, we come to the end of the interview, unfortunately, but can you just go over anything? Do you want to say any more information or thank yous?
I'd like to say a big thank you to Big Al, who's designed our T-shirt this year. You might have seen it on social media. So that's Big Al from bearspoke.com. Also, I'd really like to say a big thank you to our sponsors this year, which include Den Loungewear, FKME. I won't say that on air. I'll just say the initials. You could work it out for yourself at home. FKME. Bear 107. Sorry. Bear 107, Dilf, Beef Mints and the Birdcage. Really grateful to them for their sponsors. Of course, all the vendors who are going to be at Dorset Gardens. Really grateful for them to them for creating a real buzz there. So, yeah.
And, of course, Lunch Positive, Gary and the team there. I mean, they do an amazing job, don't they? So, Gary's been on the show, so it's good to...
Indeed, yeah, and we understand this year. We put in a special request with Lunch Positive to design a bottom-friendly menu. So look forward to that, whatever that's going to be.
I don't know. It'll all be revealed on the 11th of July, won't it? So, yes.
Yeah. Indeed.
So if anyone wants to respond, how do they just go to the website? Is that right?
That's right. Wristbands including the bundled wristband that includes the club nights are available on our website. The wristband will give you discounts at various venues around Kemp Town.
Yeah.
Well worth it, and raises money for local community organisations through the Pride Community Foundation. So, yeah, please buy one. Yeah. It's well worth it.
It's all good for great causes, isn't it? And that's what we're...
Yeah.
Thank you so much, you two. Look forward to seeing you over the weekend in July. Anything you want to say? Anything else I've missed, maybe?
No, it's absolutely delightful to see you, Josh, as ever.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. I look forward to a really good weekend. You've chosen a song, haven't you, which is, I love this song because it's very apt, I think, for having a sunny weekend. So, do you want to introduce it, Al?
Yeah. I mean, I chose it because, for me, it kind of like sums up the spirit of Brighton Bear Weekend and what I hope to get from it. So, yeah, I hope everybody else gets this from it as well.
And it's, what is it?
It's the one and only Bill Withers, Lovely Day.
Thank you so much. Thank you for doing this. Thank you guys for coming on. And see you soon.
See ya.
And bye.
Bye.
Welcome back to the HIVR on 97.2 FM and DAB Plus and RadioReverb.com. If you want to email us, you can email us at info@hivhour.org. Our website is hivhour.org.uk, and we are sponsored by Jack Russell's Technologies. So, yeah, big thank you to them for sponsoring the show.
And,
so
I met, just quickly, Josh, I met Jack a little while ago, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Yes.
Yeah, lovely guy. Lovely. We had great conversations, and thank you. A shout out to Jack as well for sponsoring our amazing show. So I just wanted to add that in because I hadn't met him until a few weeks ago.
Yeah, no, great. So you just listened to Bill Willey's Lovely Day, which was chosen by Alan from the Brighton Bear Weekend crew. And you're going to talk to us about THT. They've got a new campaign, haven't they? So
yes. Let me give you, start off with a question, Josh. How many people, and maybe a question to the listeners as well, how many people do you think are living with HIV? It could be in Brighton and Hove, it could be throughout the UK. How many people do you think may have come out of care and who are out of care for various reasons? Give me a figure.
I've heard this recently. I would say, it's about 3,000. In the UK.
Right. You're talking over 12,000 people.
In the UK?
Yes. Over 12,000 people have come out of care. They've stopped taking their medication. They've disengaged for various reasons. And just last World AIDS Day, we were given some pieces of funding from the government. This is all part of the HIV action plan, Josh, of reaching the goal of 2030 of no new HIV transmissions. And to even attempt to do that, we need to tackle people, right? You get what I'm saying? We need to tackle the amount of people that we know are living with HIV. They know they're living with HIV, but the disengaged in care, and we need to look at that, and we need to investigate that, and we need to support people back into care. And that brings me on to a new campaign that was launched a couple of weeks ago. Josh, it's called It's Worth Another Try. Let me give you a little bit of background on it. So basically, if you haven't been to your HIV appointments for a while, you're not alone. Whenever you're ready, we're here to help you get back into HIV clinic. Sometimes people stop going to their HIV appointments for lots of reasons. Things don't always go to plan. You might have difficulty moved away, or just found it hard to keep up with appointments. Whatever the reason, you can go back to any HIV clinic at any time. You're welcome back. So the campaign is called It's Worth Another Try. So in other words, we're trying to invite people back into care, and we're supporting that back into care, the Terence Higgins Trust. We've done a lot of social media posts. People may have heard about lots of posters on buses and bus stops, and because it's a really important, if you think there's over 12,000 people. So, you know, we're here. So basically, you know, our advisors are here to support you if you have concerns about living with HIV, or if you've been missing your HIV appointments. When you can contact THT Direct, we will listen and talk you through any worries or concerns, help you find a HIV clinic, connect you to other support services. And after this chat, obviously, I'll read out, if that's okay, Josh, the THT Direct number. If anyone's listening and thinking, actually, I haven't been to for whatever reason, and I'll give you the email address as well. And it's so important. And, you know, if you think about it, and I use this example on many of the talks I do, Josh, it's people don't understand how it can be so simple to disengage. Now, we've talked about some of the reasons, okay? It could be that, you know, we've heard of incidents where some people haven't got on with their medications and they've been too scared or not, you know, over-challenged to ask about other medication, so they decided not to go back. Something as simple as that. But what I would like to talk about, Josh, and this is the reason why we do a lot, the Terence Higgin Trust does a lot of talks in HIV educations in healthcare settings, because a lot of this is to do with some of the stigma and discrimination in healthcare. And I'll give you one example of that where I personally, and you may have experienced something else, and I may have mentioned it on the show in previous shows, but I just want to mention it again just to highlight the reason why this is so important that we have a stigma-free healthcare setting to keep people in care, to keep them on medication. It was some years ago, Josh, so it was about 6-7 years ago now, where I'd visited my doctor. Okay, it was totally un-HIV related. It was a ladies thing. I can't remember. It was so long ago. And I'm sitting there. Now, I've chosen, like not all of us have, I've chosen to share my HIV status with my health professionals. You don't have to, can I just say to everyone? But that is my choice. I've chosen to do that. And I feel quite very free in doing that. And I'm sitting there, and my doctor turned around to me and he said, "Well, you've got HIV, Sue." Now, you know, I'm very open, as you know, most of our listeners may know of me. And I said, "Yeah, you know, the most natural thing in the world, yes." He then turned around to me and said, "Oh, where did you get that from, Sue?" Some people still get quite alarmed when I say that. And I know for a fact, Josh, that that sort of situation has happened to a lot of people. Now, if I hadn't have been the Sue that is on the radio, that does the amazing work for the Terence Higgin Trust, that is a public speaker and I'm publicly out there, I could have been a different Sue that doesn't do that. I do my own thing. I mind my own business. I'm taking my medication. I'm just going to my doctors and that is absolutely 100% fine. And that's how it should be for people that want to be like that. The difference that could have been is that could have been that person that could have been so consumed about the stigma they were feeling when someone, "Where did you get it from?" that they could have left that GP surgery, gone home, disengaged, not gone back for a follow appointment for their medication. This is how simple it can happen, because they feel so stigmatized that they've been, whatever reason, picked on, stigmatized, singled out, that is just so heavy. Now, you know, let's just think about, Josh, you know, as we all know, people who are living with HIV are twice as likely to have a mental health episode in their lifetime. So that, again, that doesn't help.
Yes.
Now, we know, Josh, we know, don't we, that we are here living well on amazing medication, which we don't have to pay for because our amazing overstretched NHS. And I know my GP did not mean to say it in the way that he did. I know he didn't. I know he didn't.
It's language, isn't it? It's how
it's the language, it's the terminology, it's the, you know, and as I say, that's why we as the Terence Higgin Trust are working with healthcare to have hopefully better conversations. So that's just one thing that could possibly happen that could stop someone from, you know, disengaging. Now, this is a really big campaign, and, you know, and I want to really do a shout out to anyone that's listening to say that, you know, if you have disengaged, if you've stopped taking your medication, please, 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 you know, we're here at the Terence Higgin Trust to support you. And I'm going to give you a number, Josh. Correct. It's the THT Direct. It's 0808 802 1221. And the email, Josh, is info@tht.org.uk. And if there's anyone that is living in London or Glasgow, we can contact the clinic for you and help arrange any appointment. If you're elsewhere in the UK, we will help you find a clinic and guide you through booking an appointment. There is support available.
Yes, there is, yeah.
Yeah, we're here, honestly. So the big ask is, it really is worth another child, because you are worth it. You are worth to have a long and healthy life living with HIV. And you can feel the passion in me. I get so upset. You know, because of people in the, and they've got valid reasons for themselves. We can't judge, why can't they just come in there and take it? You know, for you and I, it may be okay. And for many others, it might be okay. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are feel very different about HIV. They're still come to terms with the diagnosis, even years later. So I really just wanted to shine a light on, and it's an amazing campaign. You know, we were given some funding from the government to try, and this is one of the ways we're trying to do it. So
Got to get it out soon.
Thanks for letting us share that.
That's absolutely so important.
It's really important.
It is very important. I think my experience of not going to the clinics. Yeah. At the beginning, when I got diagnosed, I was at my barber at a shop, but I wouldn't go to the. I wouldn't go for 5 years because I thought I'd see somebody might see me, or back to the barber shop. I cut hair and scissors, and so I didn't go for 5 years. So that was a detrimental effect on my health because I was scared of what people might think. So. That's my experience. So a lot of people have different experiences, don't they?
We can't judge anyone. Just because we take our medication and we don't mind shouting it from the rooftop, that doesn't mean to say, you know, everyone else is the same. And we need to be mindful. We need to be mindful of people's, you know, well-being when it comes to HIV. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we're going to get some of those people back into care, Josh.
Fingers crossed, yeah, absolutely. Send them our love, don't we?
Let me tell you about a thrill.
Radio Reason. I've got a story. This is from America, actually. This is about 10 activists from various HIV and AIDS groups were arrested on Tuesday morning, June the 2nd, at the entrance to the hearing room in the Dirksen Senate office building, where Secretary of State Marco Rubio, I hope I've got that right, was about to brief members of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the US war with Iran. The protesters were there to call out what they said was the Trump administration's ongoing sabotage of PEPFAR, the US Global AIDS Relief Program, overseen by the State Department. They sat down on the hallway floor outside the hearing room, holding signs that read, Rubio kills people with AIDS. Well, it's a bit, this is what they said anyway. The protesters represented groups including Health, GAP, Housing Works, Treatment Action Group. They've been fighting the Trump administration attacks on PEPFAR, which was earlier this year. So one of the protests arrested. The group had intended to conduct the protest from within the hearing room, but were denied access. So they decided to hold the protest just outside the doors. Mm-hmm. It is far from the first time protesters from the groups have disrupted business on Capitol Hill since the Trump administration started making dramatic cuts to PEPFAR. I mean, it's hard, isn't it?
You would never have imagined a few years ago that things like this are happening, and it's just shocking, isn't it? It really is shocking.
Yeah, the New York Times reported in April that PEPFAR, which is overseen by the State Department, released the same month data showing sharp decreases in the number of people newly tested, diagnosed, and treated for HIV, declines that will have long-term consequences. It's not just America, it's everywhere. It's across the world, isn't it? So this affects everyone. Boston University School of Public Health and HIV Modelling Consortium estimated earlier this year that since early last year, the cuts and closures have resulted in nearly 160,000 adult deaths and nearly 70,000 child deaths worldwide.
Gosh.
So.
Yes, it's having an impact, isn't it?
It's a hard one, so it's one to watch. Just thought I'd get that out there, really. Yeah, absolutely. Get it out there. That's my saying. Get it out there. Shall we have a song? So you've chosen a great song. Would you like to tell the listeners?
Yeah, I tell you what, I'm going to, can I just very, very quickly say very something very funny that made me choose this song. Now, you know, as we get older, you know, I was thinking about this. Now, I've always loved music. I've always loved dance music. I've always loved jazz. You know, I remember going to the underground clubs back in the 70s and 80s, you know, in Brighton. And, you know, and as you get older, you don't stop loving that sort of music. You don't stop. Just because you get older and maybe you don't visit them, you know what I'm saying, because you do absolutely. And all of that. The love of music and the love of a type of music that you grew up with and loved, even though it's sort of, you know, gone on to different things. So I've always had that love, even though, you know, I'm older and may not go to clubs as much. You know, I'll go out of this world still loving that music, you know, like our parents love their music. You know, oh, you're a bit old now for that. No. But so anyway, so I came across this guy. Listen. I came across this guy, Charlie Gia, I think his name is.
Charlie Gia.
And I didn't realise, I just came across him online and I heard the song and then I started listening to it. I thought, my God, it's like I'd heard it from years ago, that sort of music. And, and of course, when you said Sue tunes the record, I thought, I wonder if Josh will have that. So
we have.
Yeah, so that's it. Getting to the point. It's called My Madonna, and I just love him. I think he's absolutely fabulous. So
let's listen to it, Sue.
Shall we?
Challenge here on My Madonna. We'll see you after this.
Hi, welcome back. If you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and .com online. You can also pick up at any time our famous Pop Pod podcasts. carry on the conversations.
Yes, absolutely. The podcast is brilliant. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning into our podcast. We appreciate you listening in. So thank you. Tiptoe, that's what we're going to talk about now, isn't it? Quickly.
Don't do the tulips, I keep saying. Yes. Yeah, I know it's not.
Tiptoe is the new Channel 4 series from Russell T Davies, which I've watched two episodes, Sue. I don't know about you. Yeah.
Well, there's only two available at the moment, but there apparently are five. So they're probably...
What do you think?
I mean, it really give, and that's what they're saying, it gives you, because obviously... As we all know, Russell T. Davies was responsible for It's a Sin some years ago, which is going to be a stage show next year. We'll chat about that in a second. But Russell talks about how it's really now up to date and it's what they're now dealing with, the situation of, you know, people coming out and seems to be more acceptance. But on what he was saying, there's massive prices now that people are paying.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite, what's the word? It's a thriller, isn't it? It's like a bit dark.
It is a thriller.
Dark comedy, I think.
It's not a comedy. Definitely not a comedy.
But I think they make it a bit like, you know, because Alan Cummings is in it, and who's the other one? David Mason. And I mean, they're trying to bring a little bit of lightheartedness to a dark.
Yes, And of course, it's based in the amazing gay capital in Manchester, which is amazing. Have you ever been down that road? I've been down it.
Oh, I'm a northerner.
Yes.
It's a great street. I mean, it's a shame we don't have that in Brighton. Yeah. I know our brands are small.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
I've always wanted, why don't we have on St. James Street, but it's difficult, isn't it, with how Brighton is. It's one to watch, isn't it, Sue? So we can't really, because we don't have a lot of time, so we're going to have to go into community news.
I know.
But we'll talk, maybe talk about it.
Absolutely, on the follow-up episodes. Brilliant.
We would say give it a watch. Channel 4, isn't it?
Give it a watch, yes.
Yeah, so. So community news. I'm going to have to do this quite fast, actually. So I think this weekend is Pool Pride in Dorset. So there's a couple of things I've got down here. HIV story film, which is a cinema called The Lighthouse. And that's on Saturday the 6th of June between 4:15 and 5:15. If you want to go and look at that, that's the story of their lives. I think it's a film about people's lives with HIV, which is that's great. Also, part of that is HIV Story Exhibition, which again is at the Lighthouse in Poole, Dorset, and that's Saturday, 6th of June, again, and between 12 and 5:30. So go and give them a look. Also, on Monday, the 8th of June, for the launch night of the Survivors Exhibition at the Fitzsovia Chapel in London, spaces are limited. So if you go to the chapel for the launch of the 16 portraits of long-term HIV survivors of by photographer Danielle van Ziedelhoff, I hope that I've got that right. The National HIV Story Trust Chair, Paul Coleman, will launch the exhibition and will a brief talk about the work and discuss the importance of these portraits. So that's what, if you're in London, that's great. It's on the 8th of June at 6 p.m. at the Fitzrovia Chapel. Oh, tickets are free, by the way, as well. So, and if you want to contact them, it's contact at nhst.org.uk. Just mention the Zero HIV Stigma Day, which is on the 21st of July, between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. at Jubilee Square in Brighton. Everyone's welcome, so please come and support us and listen to some of the speakers. It's a day of solidarity, education and action. Whether you're passionate about equality, interested in learning more, or simply want to show your support to this event, we'll be talking about, we'll probably be talking, get Gary on and get some more of this time. You can go see the Martin Fisher Foundation website, so that's martinfisherfoundation.org, /HIV/stigma/day/2026. Also, I mean, we're going to the National Conference of People Living with HIV on the 13th of June.
Yeah.
That's celebrating 30 years since the introduction of combination antiviral therapy, which turned HIV from terminal diagnosis into a manageable condition. So that's the 7th biannual conference, which is, that's good. We're all going to that, aren't we? Also, there's Worthing Pride, which starts again, that's on the 4th and 5th of July, which again has got a lot of acts on. I'm going to be on the stage.
You're DJing, aren't you? Yes.
On stage, yeah, on the Saturday.
Woo! Yeah, you do.
Hello, me and my friend
are going to wear something special or nothing.
I was going to go as a Teletubby.
No. You're worthy of much more, so much more.
No, we're going to, me and Nazara are going to sing our new track, which we've been working on. So it's a pride anthem. So please, if you want tickets, go to worthypride.com. Just one more thing. I'll be DJing at the Bears at the Fallen Angel in Brighton, and that's this Saturday, 6th of June, 8 p.m. till 12:30. Now, Bears at the Fallen Angel has been going for quite a while, and all proceeds go to Sussex Beacon, which is a great charity. Do you know what? We've come to the end of our show.
No, get out of here.
Outrageous.
We've got so much more to talk about, Josh.
No, you can just go. Yeah, you've been wound up.
I know.
You're off. like a spinning top. Thank you for listening to our show. I really appreciate you tuning in. And we finished on a great track, actually, 07. Do you know them, Sue? 07?
I don't know, no.
You might know them if you hit the list, but it's called Somersault. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend.
And take care, everyone, okay?
Yeah, we'll be with you again.
See you soon.
Lots of love. Bye.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.